Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, when you hear the words empty or absent or not here, what kind of pictures or feelings come to mind? Maybe a feeling of loneliness or sadness, or disappointment, or starkness. We speak of empty rooms and vacant lots, feeling empty inside, all of these implying the missing of someone or something. But today, we contemplate a story where emptiness and absence and the message, "He is not here," was good news. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, likely the mother of James, son of Alphaeus, were the first ones to receive this news. On Easter morning, they journey to the tomb. They had been present at the crucifixion of Jesus. They had seen Jesus die. They had gone to the tomb to see where he was laid. And now, 2 days later, they were returning. So think for a moment about that walk to Jesus' tomb. I think that probably many of us have taken similar walks. Walks after a loved one's death, to a funeral home, to a graveside. We know what it is like to feel that sense of unreality, of heightened reality, of overwhelming sadness. But the mourning did not turn out as the women expected. Not at all. Instead, an earthquake shook the ground. The stone in front of the tomb was rolled away. The guards fell over as though dead. And in the midst, an angel appeared, bright and shining in glory. And then there was this astounding news: "I know that you seek Jesus. He is not here." God had raised Jesus from the dead, and he was alive. And it was astounding news, unbelievable news, good news for the women and all the disciples and everyone that loved Jesus. And it's good news for us. So why does the raising of Christ from the dead make a difference? Well, it's good news because death is not the end. Again, most of us have lost loved ones. We know what those losses are like and how truly difficult they are. And in my years as a hospital chaplain, I've been with many families after a loved one's death, a witness to deep and agonizing sadness. And sometimes at those moments, I have thought of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 when he said, "If in this life only we have hoped, we are of all people most to be pitied." if in this life only we have hoped. But we have hope for more. The resurrection reminds us that there is more to life than we know here and now. Eternal life means we have life with God that never ends. We don't know exactly what heaven will be like, but we know it will be good. William Barclay, the English Bible scholar, wrote, "Death is not the end, but the beginning of life. Not the twilight, but the dawn. Not the midnight, but the breaking day. Beyond death, there is a life where broken things are mended and the lost things are found, where there is rest for the weary and joy for the sad, and where all we have hoped and willed of good will exist, and where we will be forever with our Lord. The Easter certainty is that life is stronger than death." So the empty tomb and the news that he is not here is good news because of life beyond death. But it's also good news because God gives us new life right here and right now. We have life with God, friendship with God right now. And what a difference that makes. We are loved. We are forgiven. We have grace and comfort and strength and hope and redemption and transformation and a purpose for being here. And our empty spaces, our hurts, our needs, our hopes are filled by the presence of Christ. Because the tomb is empty, Christ can fill our emptiness with his love and grace. As you think about that first Easter morning and that journey of the women to the tomb of Jesus, where might you put yourself in that story? Maybe you are in the midst of grief and sorrow right now. Or maybe you are fearful at what might be ahead, as I'm sure the women were fearful in their journey. Or are you wrapped up in expectations, expecting the worst and the hardest, only to find that something else, maybe even something wonderful, is waiting? Well, wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, think about the words that Jesus spoke to the women after he met them later that morning. First thing he said to them was greetings, which actually means rejoice. God wants joy for us. First, I think he wants us to discover joy. There's so much joy around us and so much in life that can bring joy. We think about our dear ones, our family and friends, our world, our work and service. God wants us to discover and be on the lookout for the joy that is around us. I think of this morning and the chance to be with family and friends and new friends. I think about driving to church and seeing flowers coming into bloom. Several of us received pictures of grandchildren this morning that delighted us. So God wants us to discover the joy that's around us. God also wants to be our joy, and he invites us to rejoice in his love and goodness and grace. And God wants us to have his joy. Marie Chapin writes, "God says to us, 'I give you my joy. I rejoice over you and I delight over you. I faithfully watch over you with all my heart and soul. The gift of my joy is unassailable and relentless. No person can take it from you. No change of life or circumstance can alter, diminish, or remove my joy from you. I delight in you, and the peace of my joy is yours.'" The second thing that Jesus said to Mary Magdalene and Mary was, "Don't be afraid." A verse that's often repeated in the Bible, "Don't be afraid." So in the midst of our fears, which can be many and can be very, very real, Jesus says to us, "Don't be afraid." Sarah Young writes in the Jesus Calling devotional, God says to us, "I am your strength and your shield. Whenever you start to feel afraid, remember that I am your shield. My presence watches over you continually, protecting you from both known and unknown danger. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go." Give yourself fully to the adventure of today. Walk boldly along the path of life. You have every reason to be confident, because my presence accompanies you all the days of your life and onward into eternity. Do not give in to fear or worry, those robbers of abundant life. Whenever you start to feel afraid, remember that I am holding you by your right hand and that nothing can separate you from my presence. And the last thing that Jesus said to the women was, go and tell what you have seen. So we marvel at what happened to the disciples after the resurrection. They couldn't keep quiet. They were filled with power, and they became witnesses. Peter Marshall wrote, "Jerusalem had been anything but impressed with the way that Christ's disciples had conducted themselves during the arrest and trial of Jesus. His followers had certainly not been courageous. In fact, they had all either fled to save their own lives or followed at a great distance. And after their master's death, the band of disciples had stayed in hiding with the doors locked. And yet, after that first Easter morning, we find these very same ones who were timid and frightened, now preaching openly with no fear. Their personal conviction rings through the pages of the New Testament, steady and strong. And of what were they so sure? That Jesus Christ was alive. A few weeks ago, Kurt and I attended a gathering to hear Joe and Amy Pavlish speak. And Joe and Amy are part of our extended family. They are young, utterly committed to Jesus, and their faith is strong. And they have a call to East Asia to be missionaries. And we may think, I could never do that. And certainly, I think I never could do that. But though I don't see myself being called to foreign missions, I did connect with them as they spoke about their hopes for their work, because they talked about friendship evangelism. In East Asia, they will be meeting people one-on-one. They will be getting to know them, making connections, figuring out how to be helpful and how to meet needs, and God willing, sharing about Jesus. And we can do that anywhere. We can meet people one-on-one. We can figure out how to be helpful and what the needs are. And God willing, we can share about Jesus. If we were to pray a daring prayer, "God, let me be a blessing to someone today," or "God, let me share about you today," we might be surprised at what happens. In the Easter scripture we shared today, the message, "He is not here," was good news. Jesus had risen from the dead. He lives. He's with us now. The tomb was empty, so his love could come and fill the empty places in our hearts. So wherever you are on your life journey, Jesus says, rejoice. Don't be afraid, and go and tell about the love of God. Amen.